Esme Suiza had done her best to clean up before reporting as ordered to the Admiral aboard her flagship, the RSS Harrier, but the mutiny and the following battle had left her little time. She had showered and run her uniform through the cycler, but it wasn't her dress uniform. The fight aboard Despite had put holes through interior bulkheads and started innumerable small fires, including one in the junior officer's storage compartment. She herself, though clean, had not slept well in however many days it had been. She knew her eyes were bloodshot and sticky with fatigue. Her hands trembled. She had the stomach-clenching feeling that her best wasn't good enough. Admiral Serrano looked like an older edition of Captain Serrano. The same compact trim frame, the same bronze skin. Here, the dark hair was streaked silver, and a few lines marked the broad forehead, but she gave an impression of crackling energy held just in check.
Lieutenant Junior Grade Suiza reporting, sir.
At least her voice didn't shake. Those few days of command had ironed out the uneasy flutter she used to struggle against.
Have a seat, Lieutenant.
Esme sat in the appointed chair, glad that her knees held, and she made it a controlled descent.
I have reviewed your summary of events aboard Despite. It seems to have been a very difficult time.
Yes, sir.
That was safe. But her memory reminded her that it wasn't always true, that a yes, sir, to Captain Hearn had been treason, and a yes, sir, to Major Dovere had been mutiny.
You do understand, Lieutenant, that it is mandatory for all officers participating in a mutiny to stand before a court to justify their actions.
Esme was grateful for the gentleness, even though she knew it would do her no lasting good.
Yes, sir. I have to take responsibility.
That's right. And you, because you are the senior surviving officer and the one who ended up in command of the ship, you will bear the brunt of this investigation and the court.
The Admiral paused, looking at her with that quiet, expressionless face. Esme felt cold inside. They had to have a scapegoat, is that what it meant? Panic filled in a quick sketch of her future. Dismissed, disgraced, thrown out of fleet, and forced to return home. She wanted to argue that it wasn't fair, but she knew better. Fairness wasn't the issue here. The survival of ships, which depended on the absolute obedience of all to the captain, that was the issue.
I understand.
I won't tell you that such a court is merely a formality, even in a case like this. A court is never a mere formality. Things always come out in courts to the detriment of everyone concerned, things that might not matter ordinarily. But in this case, I don't want you to panic. It is clear from your report, and that of other personnel,
Esme hoped that might mean the Admiral's niece,
that you did not instigate the mutiny, and that there is reasonable probability that the mutiny will be held to be justified.
The knot in Esme's stomach loosened slightly.
Obviously, it is necessary to remove you from command of Despite.
Esme felt her face heating, more relief than embarrassment. She was so tired of having to figure out how to ask the senior NCOs what to do next without violating protocol.
Of course, sir.
Frankly, I'm surprised that a jig could take over Despite and handle her in battle, let alone get off the decisive shot. That was good work, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir. Actually, it was the crew, especially Chief Essek. They knew what to do.
They always do. But you had the sense to let them, and the guts to come back. You're young. You made mistakes, of course.
Esme thought of their first attempt to join the fight, the way she'd insisted on too high an insertion velocity and forced them to blow past. She hadn't known then about the glitch in the nav computer, but that was no excuse.
But I believe you have the root of the matter in you. Stand your court. Take your medicine, whatever it is, and good luck to you, Lieutenant Suiza.
The Admiral stood. Esme scrambled up to shake the hand extended to her. She was being dismissed. She didn't know where she was going or what would happen next, but she felt a warm glow where the cold knot had been. As the escort outside made clear, where she was going was a quarantined section of officers' country on the flagship. Capelli and the few other junior officers were already there, stowing their duffels in the lockers and looking glum.
Well, she didn't eat you alive. I suppose my turn's coming. What's she like?
A Serrano.
That should be enough. Esme wasn't about to discuss an admiral's character on board a ship.
There's a court coming, but you know that.
At the moment, I'm just as glad you had the seniority and not me, though we're all in trouble.
Esme had been glad to lay down command, but just for a moment she wanted it back so she could tell Pelly to be quiet, and so she would have something to do. It took only a minute or two to stow her own meager duffel in the compartment she'd been assigned, and only another to wonder how much the officer evicted from it would resent having to double up with someone else. Then she was faced with blank walls, or an empty passage, or the cluster of fellow mutineers in the tiny wardroom, which was all the common space they would have until the Admiral decreed otherwise. Esme lay back on her bunk and wished she could turn off the relentless playback in her head that kept showing her the same gruesome scenes over and over and over.
Why do they seem worse each time?
Of course they're listening.
Esme paused in the wardroom entrance. Four of the others were there, listening to Pelly. He looked up, his glance including her in the conversation.
We have to assume they're monitoring everything we say and do.
That's standard, even in normal situations.
Yes, but now they're paying attention.
One of Esme's own stomach-clenching fears was that the forensic team sent to Despite would find out that she talked in her sleep.
Well, we didn't do anything wrong. We weren't traitors, and we didn't lead the mutiny either. So I don't see where they can do anything to us.
Not to you, Arpan, no. From this, if nothing else, ensigns are safe. Although you could die of fright facing the court.
Why should I face a court?
Arpan, like Esme, had come to the Academy from a non-service family. Unlike Esme, he had come from an influential non-service family with friends who held seats in council, and he expected family clout to get him out of things.
Regulations. You were a commissioned officer serving aboard a vessel on which a mutiny occurred. You will stand before a court.
Esme didn't mind Pelly's brutal directness so much when it was aimed at someone else, but she knew he'd be at her soon enough.
But don't worry. You're unlikely to spend very long at hard labor. Esme and I, on the other hand, Esme and I are the senior surviving officers. Questions will be asked. They decide to make an example, we are the ones to be made an example of. Jigs are an eminently expendable class.
Arpan looked at both of them, and then without another word, squeezed past two of the others and Esme at the door.
Avoiding contamination.
Liam Lavati. He was another Jig, junior to Pelly, but part of Pelly's expendable class. Service to the Corps and for many generations on both sides of the family. He could afford to sound cheerful. He probably had a dozen cousins who had just outgrown whatever uniforms he needed. Pelly rolled his eyes.
Just as well. I don't like whiners. Do you know he wanted me to press the Admiral for damage payments to replace a ruined uniform?
And he's rich!
Esme could not help thinking what the necessary replacements were going to do to her small savings.
Speaking of the court, what are the uniform protocols?
Uniforms! You too?
For the court, Pelly, not for display.
Oh, right. I don't really know. The only things I've seen were those cubes back at the academy in military law classes. And that was usually just the last day, the verdict. I don't know if they wore dress the whole time.
The thing is, if we need to have new uniforms made, we have to have time for it.
Good point. There wasn't much left of the stuff in that compartment, so we have to assume that all our dress uniforms were damaged. You'll have to ask about it, Esme. You're still the senior.
Not anymore.
Even as she said it, Esme knew that was wrong.
On this you are. Sorry, Es.
Asking about the uniforms brought her to the notice of the paper pushers again. As captain, even for those few days, she had the responsibility to sign off on all the innumerable forms required.
Not the death letters. The Admiral felt that the families would prefer to have those signed by a more senior officer who could better explain the circumstances.
Esme had completely forgotten that duty. The captain must write to the family of any crew members who died while assigned to the ship. She felt herself blushing.
And there are other major reports which the Admiral feels should be deferred until forensics has completed its examination. But you left a lot of routine stuff undone, Sweeza.
Yes, sir.
When could I have done it? How could I have known?
The excuses raced through her mind and out again. No excuses were enough. Lieutenant Commander Hosry handed her a sheaf of paper.
Have your officers fill out these forms. Turn them in completed and countersigned by you within 48 hours, and I'll forward them to the Admiral's staff for approval. If approved, that will authorize officers to arrange for replacements of uniforms, and yes, that will include fleet authorization to forward measurements to registered tailors so they can get started. Now, we need to deal with the basic reports that should have been filed or ready to file at the time when you were relieved of command of Despite.
The junior officers were not delighted with the forms. Some of them procrastinated, and Esme found herself having to nag them to finish the paperwork by the deadline. Hosry's senior clerk looked up when Esme brought the reports in. He glanced at the clock.
None too early. What'd you do, wait until the last minute?
Esme didn't like this clerk, and she had had to work with him for two straight shifts on the incomplete reports Hosry thought she should do. Just let it be over with, she told herself, even though she knew that the reports were the least of her problems. While she worked on those, the other young officers faced daily sessions with investigators, determined to find out exactly how it was that an RSS patrol ship had been captained by a traitor and then embroiled in mutiny. Her turn would come next.